Welcome to Girl, Get a Real Job, a podcast series by Women of the Wick, a platform amplifying the visibility, voices and work of women, trans and non-binary creatives. I'm your host, Sara Garbanin, a multimedia artist, writer and the founder of Women of the Wick. Girl, Get a Real Job is a space where we normalize money and business talk as artists and creative practitioners. To continue the conversation, please find us on social media at Women of the Wick and Girl Get a Real Job. Now, let's start talking about the real worth of our creative work. Hello, everyone. It is Sara here, the host of the Girl Get a Real Job podcast and founder of Women of the Wick Media. Today's episode is a special recording from our Pleasures exhibition that I had the pleasure to curate together with the Shoreditch Modern Gallery this May. During this talk, we dive into the topic of pleasure through the artist's perspective. It is a beautiful talk full of gems, but as it is a live panel discussion, there might be some background noise. Despite the sound quality, I hope you enjoy the show and that the content inspires you. Without further ado, let's go.
Hello, welcome everyone. It gives me great pleasure to launch this show with you guys. I'm Anais Massetti. I'm the curator and manager of Shoreditch Modern Gallery. And we are very pleased to be collaborating with Women of the Wick and Sara, writer and founder of Women of the Wick, is with me tonight. We're both companies that are obviously female-led, and it's very important to us to give opportunities and platforms to female-identifying artists. So this is sort of how the collaboration came about. And we brought together five wonderful artists that work in a really wide variety of mediums. And the idea is to explore the theme of sensuality and pleasures in a way that's varied, of course, that showcases that we're all different and we all like different things, and also to hopefully invite a positive and constructive and joyful conversation around the theme of sexual and otherwise pleasure for women and identifying artists. I'll leave the floor to Sara. Tonight we have with us Catherine Holland, who's a photographer. We have Olivia Strange, who's a multimedia artist, sculptor, painter, and also Adele Bridges, who's a Reiki master and a sensual tool maker. And leaving it to you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Anais, and a massive applause also to Anais and all the exhibiting artists. It is also an absolute joy and pleasure to be here. And also, thank you so much, Anais, for giving us this opportunity to collaborate together and curate this wonderful exhibition on the theme of pleasure. So without further ado, we will be diving into an artist talk on the theme of pursuit of pleasure. What does pleasure mean in art, in artistic practice, and especially through the lens of artists and the vibration artist who are sitting here with me? So the first question that I would like to ask from all of you, I mean, there is so much pleasure when we think of even looking at art and experiencing art, going to exhibitions, making art, collaborating. But what does pleasure mean to you in your artistic practice?
For me, it's about the creative process and that feeling of connection. And I explore that through. So ceramics is a really sensitive material for me. And it's kind of a form of meditation that's so absorbing. And that being present in the moment is the essence of pleasure for me.
I think pleasure for me is sort of, it's about being able to escape into spaces that don't exist in everyday reality, where you can test out or perform alternative identities or fantasies. And in making art, I try to use material language and objects specifically to kind of speak to that specific thing. Like, usually it's to do with the tension between one thing and another. So, like, holding multiple truths, like,
you know, something can be hard, but it can be soft at the same time. So it's like finding a way to kind of bring a visual language to that idea.
Me, my pleasure in my work is the freedom to be playful, to try new things, and might work, might not be. The work they're seeing here today is actually exactly the fruits of just playing without any destination in mind, but trying something new and see where it takes me and kind of just do what I want.
Love that, thank you. One of my favourite authors is Audre Lorde, and in her very famous essay, The Uses of the Erotic, she links sexuality and the power that we have as women, with sexual energy also, to creativity. Do you agree with the notion?
That I was actually going to talk about that essay tonight, because that was a really defining moment for me, finding that essay articulated everything I felt but didn't have the words for. And for me, the creative process is a central process, and it is really empowering and powerful. And I think, yeah, it's that kind of feeling of connection and that joy that you don't really, it can be found in many different ways, but that creativity is the birthplace of sexuality and pleasure, and everything else springs from that, in my belief anyway.
So sort of on a more personal level, there's a writer called Hélène Sissou who wrote about jouissance and the pursuit of pleasure, and there was a seminal text called The Newly Born Woman, and it talks about like pleasure and it for women or female identifying people, and how it's a freedom of expression, and how it's about reclaiming the body and the self for one's own enjoyment, basically. So that I feel like a lot of the themes in the text that you're talking about kind of relate back to that essay particularly. I mean, pleasure is kind of political, like it's about the idea of being able to be playful and enjoy oneself, aside of like the idea of purpose and the kind of capitalist notion of like your value and your purpose is assigned to your labour. And playfulness is about leaving your inner critic at the door and being able to kind of experience yourself and go into the kind of the darker corners of your mind and explore the sort of the shadowy parts of yourself and be willing to kind of go there and be brave enough to go there. And making art, I think, when you walk in, for me certainly, when I go in the studio, I really have to kind of switch off that inner critical voice and be able to just sort of allow myself to make a lot of mistakes in order to be creative and make work. So I think that like the idea of experiencing pleasure and creativity are kind of the same thing.
I agree with a lot of what you said, and I think this releasing yourself and be able to not get so stuck up what's in our head. I will say when I do make projects, depending on what kind of project there is, I guess like it's not necessarily sexual or sensual in a way, but it's pleasure in terms of like me getting to explore whatever it is that I would like to explore. And in often a way, I am trying to, not trying, but I just end up making it a bit sexual or sensual because that's who I am. And I think this brings something really interesting in terms of making pictures feel tactile, whether it's through having pictures that's so 2D and be able to bring different textures and fluids and everything into picture to kind of make it like you can feel something from it. And I guess that's where the sensual pleasure part comes from it. But it doesn't necessarily start off like that. It just ends up like that.
And Kat, your photography series is titled What I Want.
Unapologetic.
And also one of the pieces was the cover of our latest Wowsy Pleasure issue. And there is some real, this kind of, you know, sense of self-empowerment in your photos and also a sense of playfulness and liberation as well. But I'm curious to hear from you how, in your view, your photography also differs from male photographers, who depict perhaps a female body or pleasure or erotic?
I think the biggest difference is that me as a woman photographing things that are inherently very sexual and sensual, but I'm not, these picture here, I'm not doing it for the viewer. It's almost like I'm just there capturing a woman just having a really great evening by herself. Like, it's very unapologetic behavior. She's not posing for us. She's not doing it for us. She's doing it for her. I was just there to capture. She's not doing it for anyone else but her. And I think that is the difference. There's a lot of art photography for men, by men, and I think it's often quite sleazy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just bringing a different perspective into it to show that in a way we can have pleasure in sexuality, but it doesn't mean that's something that we are less because of it. And I think it's quite empowering to take that back.
Olivia, your artwork ranges from sculptures to paintings. Where do you get your inspiration from? And could you walk us through a little bit of your creative process?
Well, I would say my work is autobiographical, so it's about my experiences and my journey of sort of identifying self as a woman, but also identifying my queerhood. So I didn't come out properly until I was in my early 30s. So I've had experienced a very heteronormative life up until that point. And art was very much a way of surviving that life, I think. And then once I kind of was able to sort of actualize my queerhood, my work changed. I mean, aesthetically it changed, but it's kind of about the same thing. So very interested in objects specifically, and like how certain objects hold certain meaning. And then I quite like to mess around with that meaning and subvert it in some way. And there's a lot of layering in my work, particularly with the materiality. So like there's lots of tensions between cold and warm and soft, and like they're very pinky, Pepto-Bismol-y coloured, but they've got like some quite, there's like a darkness to them as well. So it's like, I think ultimately my work is for me about being able to hold multiple truths simultaneously and presenting that in a way that is accessible to people, because it kind of helps to describe my idea of what queerness actually is. Because a million things can be true at the same time, and normativity is very much about putting things in boxes and kind of making it all very neat and tidy. Like the reality of life, of humanness and pleasure as well, is like, it's very messy and it's very enmeshed and it's kind of like, you know, it's fluid and it's leaky and it's like all the sort of complicated shadowy parts of the self that mix in with the version of ourselves that we kind of want to be, and the parts of ourselves that maybe we don't accept so readily. And it's, so the work is kind of very much trying to go into those things and somehow bring them into the light.
Beautiful. Adele, as well as being a full-time pleasure tool maker, you recently also did, I don't know if you can call it a Reiki degree.
It is actually called a Reiki degree.
Congratulations for becoming a Reiki master. But I'm wondering also, as a spiritual person myself, how do you combine mindfulness and this kind of, you know, sense of spirituality to your work in sensuality, and whether there is a kind of a link between masturbation and mindfulness?
It's a long question. I don't know where to start with. So for me, the relationship between spirituality and sex has always been there. I do think that sex and self-pleasure has the power to heal. So art is a form of therapy, and sex can be sacred as well. And if you think about everything in life, it's an energetic exchange, including sex and pleasure. And the practice for me, so I don't know where to start because it's all quite personal. But I started on this journey because it was a, a kind of self-exploration and reclaiming myself after a very damaging four-year relationship. And I was kind of a shell of the person that I was before, and it was about reclaiming my clothing in a way that felt right for me and not for anybody else. And it's kind of led me along many, many paths, but during lockdown I really explored Kundalini yoga, which is working with your kind of erotic energy, and it kind of opened up this door to me, the exploring energy in a more kind of sexual and empowered way. Does that make sense? I don't think I've really fully answered the question. But for me, the two are intrinsically linked. For some people, I think it's a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always been kind of interconnected. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but I know that this is a direction that I'm definitely being encouraged to kind of pursue. So I'm exploring that at the moment, and it's just starting to take shape. But it's looking at creativity, pleasure, and energetic work, and how they all kind of exist in the same space and support, feed, and nourish each other, and connect kind of body, mind, and soul.
Incredible. And you're also sporting a t-shirt that says meditate and masturbate. Repeating. I'm really glad that you brought up the kind of, you know, topic of shame as well in the conversation, because when we are talking about female pleasure, that is also very intimate, and the exhibition also includes lots of interpretations of women desires. Is there also a sense of getting rid of shame?
I think we all just feel so much shame whether we want it or not, because it's not really about whether we feel it, it's actually what other people thinking about us. And I think as society, there's so much shame that's being put onto us as women, whether it's if we follow what society wants us to be doing with our life, as in having kids, marriage, whatever, or whether we go through this sexual journey. I think there's a lot of shame to be done to be put onto us when we choose a different direction that isn't mainstream. And I think we are all working so hard all the time to actually rid of that shame. And I feel that a lot. And my whole work is me trying to actually, like an antidote to that, to push it away. Because I will try all the time to not feel shame, but I'm very lucky to be in a beautiful community where we don't shame and really have creating an open space to be whatever you want to be, whatever you want to be, and it is accepted to explore. And me with my work, and it is hard because there is a lot of judgment for my work for being exactly that. But I don't think we can do anything else than to try and reject it and giving ourselves some kindness at the same time, that what we're feeling isn't actually our feelings about it, it's other people.
Thank you. I also wanted to open up the floor for questions if anyone does have, from the audience, have any questions for the artists.
And Sylvie, I'm going to ask you a question, because you spoke about COVID and we all went through trauma, breaking off relationship, divorce, losing people, etc., and being online constantly, you know, and I think it was probably a very new experience of living virtually, but probably also using Azure through that, because you couldn't communicate with your partner or something like this. So did you actually try to also explore that? How did you kind of...
To explore pleasure?
Yeah, through it.
Through the new medium. It feels like so long ago. I can't kind of break it. It's the concept of time and COVID, it all just kind of meshes into one. For me, there were definitely times where I felt more active and inquisitive and explorative. And then I think it was a period of grief, like a massive grief and mourning for people. And you kind of follow that chart of like being angry and sad, and then really kind of that channeling that anger into sexual kind of exploration as well. And so there were definitely kind of moments of that. I live with my partner, so that was an interesting experience, I think. Being in a one bed small flat without a garden in Hackney, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people relate to that. But I think it's like seasons and cycles, isn't it? That's also your kind of your sexuality is the same, and there are times when you'll want to go forth and kind of explore more with yourself, and there's times that you want to retreat and you're more kind of introspective. And yeah, I don't think I've asked that question very well, but I've gone around in circles around it. So does anybody else have anything to speak of COVID and pleasure? I think I wrote also a couple of articles during COVID, like, yeah, of those same, I suppose, on the touching on the topic, living with your partner, and then also finding pockets of desire still in this kind of mundane everyday life, and yeah, still desiring your partner even when you see them 24/7, or even yourself, you know, finding also time to self-pleasure. I'm just mindful of time. I do have one more question to all three of you, but if there is a burning question in the audience, yeah, go ahead, Joyce.
Hello, I'm Travis. Thank you for being so open and, you know, really open, the doors open, anyone can walk in. But my question, I suppose, is about creating the artwork and the end viewer, because obviously I've come here as a male and I'm looking at this very female-focused artwork from a female perspective. And possibly, I just wanted to know how much of, anyone could answer, I suppose, how much are you considering the viewer when you're actually creating the work, or are you just following your kind of intuition and the artwork will be what it will be?
For me, well, the pleasure tools that I create are kind of, it's like an emotional response for me initially, and then obviously I'm thinking about with the form how that's going to feel for the end user. But I do some decorative plates as well, and that is 100% just for me. I'm not thinking about anyone else when I do those. It's just like a really indulgent experience, and slightly slutty as well. There's a plate over there which is called Amrita, and it's basically like juicy pussy nectar. But everyone calls it the smoking hand for some reason. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's what it is.
The smoking hand, yeah. So you could also put that / the smoking hand. But yeah, it's that, the kind of the 2D kind of forms are more indulgent for me. And then I do consider other people in the end goal for the pleasure tools, obviously, because they need to find them desirable too.
Viewers' point of view.
Yeah, I think. It's always about something that's going on for me that I need to kind of figure out or make visible somehow. But I do think about the viewer, and I always try and find ways to like help the viewer in, like whether it's through objects or materiality, like things have codified meaning. So it's like taking those universal codes and then doing something with that code that like flicks a switch and you kind of see it from a different perspective.
I actually try really hard to not do it for anyone else but myself. Because most of the day that I'm photographing is for clients. It's commercial work and still life and product. So actually when I'm doing my personal projects, it's actually a way of me exploring and finding something within myself that I can only do if I'm doing it just for me. And actually, the work that I am producing, that I'm doing just for me, is actually what people like the most. So, but it's still hard because I just want to do really sexual, slutty pictures, really. And, you know, Instagram is what it is, and it's hard to get around it. So, but yeah, I'm just enjoying it in terms of, it's actually always a struggle because I still have these voices that's like, you can't do this, so this isn't even good. And so I'm trying really hard to actually do it for no other than me and my community that would appreciate the pleasures and sex and the sexiness of it all.
I said there's something I forgot to say, really important. I think about the viewer in the work because for me, growing up, if I had been able to see my queer desire represented somewhere, I think it would have helped me figure out who I was a lot sooner. So I think a really big thing for me is to somehow, hopefully, represent the my queer female desire, other people's sexual desire and pleasure in work, so that, I don't know, like some other 16-year-old from Torquay in Devon who, like, that where there is not a huge amount of culture and diversity, might see that and be able to kind of understand themselves in some way. Yeah, that's important.
It's so wonderful to hear all of your experiences and very honest stories of what does pleasure and desire and your art making mean to you as well through this lens as well. And Olivia, you also mentioned, as well as kind of, I think all of you, this kind of sense of freedom and liberation as well that comes with art making. Is there there's sort of this idea that it's like me who is the professional self that can maybe that you're only showing certain parts of yourself to the public versus then being an artist and being in the studio, creating artwork, being completely free out of those cultural norms, perhaps. May not be the clearest of question right there, but I just love this kind of different topics and themes and, that you just mentioned.
I think I know what you're asking. I think it's a really difficult thing, and like I've done a lot of therapy, and I've been in therapy for a long time, and I think it's about, I was talking about the shadow self earlier, and trying to accept the parts of yourself that you find unacceptable. And the more I go into that journey of like just trying to hold all of it and have like radical self-acceptance and empathy and like losing the shame. Brené Brown talks about shame amazingly. Like if you haven't listened to her TED talk, it is actually life-changing. But I think the more like you can just come at things with a curiosity and like zero judgment, which is really hard, curiosity and a ton of empathy, and just try and sit with stuff and like just bring it out of the shadow into like the light and look at it from a place of like just curiosity, it gets easier. And then the more you do that, the more you can accept yourself, the more you can live authentically as who you actually are, and the more fucking joyful your life becomes, quite frankly. And all the shit that isn't important, all the people, all the places that aren't important fall away from your life. But all the like amazing people and places and everything that's meant for you kind of starts to come in. So it's a journey and it's really hard, but it's definitely worth it.
Thank you so much. It is time. Thank you for all of it. Thank you so much, Modern. Thank you, Anai Masetti, especially the curator and manager at Shoreditch Modern. Do buy a pleasure magazine for yourself. Enjoy the art, buy a piece of artwork home, and just enjoy. Thank you.
If you liked this episode, please review it or share it with a friend. To continue the conversation, please find us on social media at Women of the Week and Girl Get a Real Job. See you there.